Years ago when I was in college, as I've said before, I went to college to play baseball, but God had another plan for me. He called me into the ministry, into full-time Christian ministry, which had never honestly crossed my mind. But God had been at work in my heart and brought me to that point. It was soon afterwards that I was invited to join a student leadership team that would meet periodically with Dr. Jerry Falwell and certain other college faculty members who would invest into our lives. One weekend, I was traveling with team members. We're going to another city. And there I preached my very first sermon in a Sunday worship service. I'm sure I did that in fear and trembling. I can't remember the church. I can't remember the city. I don't even remember what I preached on. But what has forever been burned into my memory is the woman who came up to me after I got through preaching. And she said to me, "Thank you so much for your message. God used you today to deeply touch my heart and minister to me and what it is that I'm going through. And I believe that God is going to use you in the future." My very first message. You know, I came away from that experience with two life-changing truths that filled me with excitement. First of all, that God, Almighty God, wanted to use me. He wanted to use me. And second, that He gave me spiritual gifts that, when empowered by the Holy Spirit, could actually minister and touch people's hearts. And beloved, the same thing is true for you. God wants to use you, and He has uniquely gifted you to minister somewhere in His church according to His specific plan for you. That's why it's critical. It's critical that we understand, we get to know what the spiritual gifts are. Because every single believer has at least one or more. And you need to understand what specific gifts God has given to you for you to be able to use. Because there's such a joy in being used by God to minister to other people. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Last time we began looking at three facets of spiritual gifts that I believe every believer needs to know. As I said, I'm turning that into a class that's called Finding Your Fit. And I want to help people to be able to discover what spiritual gifts God has given to them and then help them be able to plug in to ministry in the church. That's why I'm preaching this. Now, thus far, we've seen the first two facets of spiritual gifts. The first one I called the nature and the purpose of gifts. The nature and purpose of gifts. We saw that Christ is committed to build His church. "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." But the thing that's fascinating is He chooses to do that through us, through His people. And we looked at six significant truths about spiritual gifts. First of all, every believer is spiritually gifted. Second, God sovereignly distributes the gifts. We don't chase after it. We don't pray for it. We don't do anything. He's the one who gives us what He wills. Third, there's a diversity of gifts. We all don't have the same thing. There's unity in the midst of diversity. Fourth, serving others, which is the whole purpose of the gifts. Serving others builds Christ's church. Five, God commands gifts be used. And then six, love must motivate all gifts. So first of all, we saw the nature and purpose of gifts. And then, secondly, the way to find your fit. We saw five practical things that we can do to be able to find our fit, find our place in ministry. Once we know God's gifts for us, first of all, we need to pray for God's wisdom. We need to then consider your natural abilities. We saw how natural abilities and talents are totally different than spiritual gifts, which are supernaturally given the moment of salvation. They're different, but many times God brings the two together. He uses our natural abilities as a channel through which the spiritual gifts flow. Third, we need to get involved in ministry. This morning, I've got a spiritual gift test, and that's free for you to take. We've got to get involved in ministry and see how God is working there. Fourth, we need to evaluate what brings satisfaction, what brings joy. If you're plugged into a ministry that you can't stand, there's a good indication that's not your spiritual gift. And fifth, seek confirmation from others. Seek confirmation. The whole purpose of spiritual gifts is to minister, to serve other people. It's for the common good, the benefit of others. And if people aren't ministered to, if their hearts aren't touched, that's a good indication that's not the direction we need to go. This morning, I want us to look at the third facet of spiritual gifts that every believer needs to know, which is this. And it's pretty simple. I call it the list of gifts in Scripture. The list of gifts in Scripture. Now, depending on what book you read or what person you talk to, the number of spiritual gifts can range from 16 to 27. However, the New Testament mentions 18. And personally, I believe that this is probably the extent of the gifts of the Spirit. Spiritual gifts have been categorized in many different ways over the years, but they can broadly be divided into 10 temporary, revelatory, and sign gifts. Revelatory gifts in the sense of God's revelation of the New Testament being given through those gifts, and sign gifts being those that authenticate the messenger who's given the message, that he is credible in what he's speaking when he's speaking revelation. So there's 10 temporary, revelatory, and sign gifts, and 8 permanent speaking and serving gifts. So you got 18. But when the early church was being founded and established, all of the spiritual gifts God intended were all functioning, were all operative during that time. During the time when the New Testament was being given, when the apostles and prophets were speaking the revelation that we have today in the New Testament, the sign gifts authenticated, they validated the gospel message that the apostles and the prophets were preaching and teaching before the New Testament was written. The revelatory and sign gifts, there's a number of those. There's 10 of them. Apostleship, prophecy, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, distinguishing of spirits, the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues, faith, healings and miracles. Now again, God still heals today. He still performs miracles today, but not in the same way he did back then in these gifts. Again, I talked in depth about each one of these in my messages when I went through 1 Corinthians, especially chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. However, after the New Testament was completed, these revelatory and sign gifts became obsolete. In other words, they ceased. Since now the written scriptures have become the final authority for the New Testament church. It wasn't until the 20th century that mainstream Christianity began teaching that all the gifts were for all time. Now, in the 21st century, it seems one is in the minority for believing that the revelatory and sign gifts were only temporary for the first century church, which Fellowship Bible Church does. We believe that there's 8 permanent speaking and serving gifts that are operative not only throughout the entire church age, but also for today. And these categories of spiritual gifts are referred to in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. Listen as I read, where Peter says, "As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Now, whereas all spiritual gifts are supernaturally given by God and motivate each one of us to serve the Lord in a particular area, whether it be speaking or serving, we also need to work to develop our gifts. Now, what are these 8 permanent spiritual gifts that are in operation today? First of all, I want us to look at the 4 speaking gifts, which are the gifts of evangelism, pastor-teacher, teaching, and exhortation. The gift of evangelism is the first one. Evangelism is the first phase of the command that we've seen in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, to go and make disciples of all the nations. For we cannot disciple someone until they become a Christian. Now, simply defined, evangelism is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with the unsaved to lead them to saving faith in Jesus. Evangelism is often called outreach, because it's going outside the 4 walls of the church into the world to seek the lost. And the most basic form of evangelism or outreach is inviting people to come and hear about Jesus, which is patterned after Andrew in John chapter 1, verses 41 and 42. When Andrew, after finding Jesus the Messiah, ran to his brother Peter and invited him to come with him to meet Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, "He," or Christ, "gave some as apostles and some as prophets, some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers." The gifted men of evangelists indicate the existence of the gift of evangelism. The gift of evangelism is a special God-given ability and desire to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ either publicly or privately, personally, with another person, to effectively persuade unsaved people to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. Evangelists have been called the obstetricians, because they're the ones in the church that are specifically gifted to bring new life into the church, the birthing of a new believer. Although evangelists never have 100% success in their efforts, because God alone is the one who saves, not man. But since they are specifically gifted for evangelism, they're more greatly used in leading unsaved people to saving faith in Christ than those without the gift. They have a passion. And although we're all responsible to witness, those who are evangelists in the church today, they can help us who don't have that gift to be able to better learn how to be more effective in sharing our faith. The second gift is the gift of pastor-teacher. The fourth gifted man and that Christ gave to the church in Ephesians 4:11 are the pastors and teachers. In the Greek, grammatically, that refers to just one gift, and it's pastor-teachers, because they do both shepherding and teaching. And as one of the elders of the church, he is the leader among the leaders. I believe that's the gift that God has given me. A special God-given ability and desire to care for, to teach, or to feed a local group of believers the Word of God. And that is the primary responsibility of those who are pastor teachers. You see, preaching and teaching the Word of God is what churches need most, because this not only builds up the saints, but it also informs and defines all of the other gifts and the ministries in the church. Now, whereas evangelists are giving birth to new believers, the pastor teacher has been called the pediatrician in the church, because they focus primarily on the spiritual development, the nurture, the protection, the supervision of the flock. We then have the gift of teaching. Now, although pastors are teachers, not all teachers are pastors. The biblical gift of teaching is different from that natural ability to be able to teach non-biblical subjects. This gift is a special God-given ability and desire to understand biblical and spiritual truth, to be able to systematize it in an appropriate way, and then communicate it effectively in a clear and accurate way so that people can better understand the truth of the Word of God. Teaching is the second phase of the command to make disciples. And this gift can be exercised in many different ways. I kind of referred to that last time. See, we can teach in large groups, small groups, one-on-one. We can teach children. We can teach youth. We can teach adults. Some have the ability to teach in a Christian college or seminary, while others have the ability to teach all of them. Now, in the early church, prior to the completion of the New Testament, teachers had to rely on the Old Testament and what was presently being taught through the revelatory gifts. But now that the New Testament canon is complete, Christian teachers have the inerrant, authoritative, and sufficient Word of God. And that is their primary textbook. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 declares, all Scripture is inspired by God. In other words, it's God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good thing. God's Word is sufficient. You know, what a privilege we have to hold in our hands the very Word of God in the completed form. We have the Old Testament and we have the New Testament. We have it all. It's our standard for truth. It is the final authority for life as well as our Christian faith. And the gift of teaching is crucial in the church because biblical truth or Christian doctrine is the lifeblood of the Christian faith. Teaching is the God-ordained method of passing on biblical truth. All Christian teachers must be diligent and take seriously, as we see in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, to accurately handle the word of truth the best that they can and not to compromise. Why? Because James 3:1 warns, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment." The next is the gift of exhortation, which is also called encouragement. The word exhortation literally means to call to one side. The gift of exhortation is a special God-given ability and desire to come alongside other people, to help them solve their whatever problem they're dealing with, whether it be a spiritual, a mental, emotional, or physical problem, to solve that from God's word. But the thing that's different with an exhorter, they seek to motivate others to action by urging them to obey God's word in very practical ways. And the best known example of this was Barnabas, whose name means son of encouragement. Don't we all need people in our lives with the gift of exhortation or encouragement? Especially when we're discouraged, when we're losing heart, we need people to come alongside of us to strengthen us and to encourage us in our walk with the Lord. The gift of exhortation is often effectively used in conjunction with preaching, as well as counseling and the natural talent of singing. There's a debate today among evangelicals over the gift of prophecy, because originally, the gift of prophecy included not just forth-telling or proclaiming the truth. The gift of prophecy was inseparably linked to foretelling future events. However, this gift today has been revised or modified to simply refer to forth-telling God's truth. In other words, preaching the Word of God. And you'll see that on the spiritual gift test that I have for you. Personally, I tend to agree with those who see preaching as the combination of the gifts of exhortation and teaching, rather than a revised form of the gift of prophecy. Now, although counseling is not a spiritual gift, the gift of exhortation can be powerfully expressed through this ministry to greatly help and encourage those who are hurting and struggling with all kinds of various things. And although singing is a natural talent and not a spiritual gift, the gift of exhortation can powerfully, through singing, through the words of the song, can deeply encourage and challenge and comfort people. And then secondly, let's look at the four serving gifts. Now, although most of these gifts are by nature background gifts or behind the scenes gifts, not only are they vital gifts in themselves, but they also are to the church what oil is to machinery. They're the lubricant which enables the entire church body to function properly. And without the support that these serving gifts provide, the church would be crippled, and those with the speaking gifts would be rendered less effective. God has so designed the body to work together. We need each other. So these four serving gifts are the gifts of helps, leadership, giving, and mercy. The gift of helps is also called in Scripture service or ministry. The word helps refers to taking the burden off someone else and placing it upon yourself. And although every spiritual gift can technically be called service to the Lord, the gift of helps is a specialized kind of service. It has the broadest scope of any of the serving gifts in that it functions whenever there is a physical need. The gift of helps is that special God-given ability and desire to identify unmet physical needs in the church and to use their skills to meet those needs. And those with this gift are happier. They're more satisfied in a supportive role than in a position of leadership. The gift of helps can be exercised to meet many needs in the church. Here's a couple. Helping in the nursery, the kitchen, stacking chairs, preparing and serving meals, washing dishes, shoveling snow, providing transportation, setting up flowers, arrangements, secretarial help, cleaning the church, repairing things that are broken, greeting guests, visitation. There's so many things that the church cannot function without the gift of helps. Next is the gift of leadership. This gift is also called administrations. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, or governments. If you have a King James, it refers to a pilot or captain of the ship who is responsible for charting the course, steering the vessel, bringing it safely to its destination. Romans chapter 12, verse 8 says, he who leads is to do so with diligence. The word leads here, or rules, means to have charge over, to govern, to direct, to guide, to oversee, to manage. That's someone who has a gift of leadership that God has supernaturally given to them. It's that special God-given ability and desire to determine direction and goals for the church as a whole or a ministry within the church. To organize a plan to reach those goals, to mobilize, to motivate, to manage people and resources into a united effort to accomplish a common goal. This gift enables one to see through a problem and decide what needs to be done to solve it. Those with the gift of leadership step forward to lead and to make the difficult decisions in time of crisis. This is not an easy gift because no one can please all the people all the time. There are different kinds of leaders depending on one's personality, natural talents, degree of leadership gifts that the person has received. Some are outgoing, charismatic, big picture leaders that inspire other people. Some are quiet, reserved, administratively detailed leaders that organize things. And then there's others who are a mixture of both. Then there's the gift of giving. Romans 12:6 says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Then verse 8, he who gives with liberality. The word gives here means to give a share of or to impart. And the gift of giving is that special God-given ability and desire to invest large portions of their material resources in the work of the Lord to reap maximum spiritual dividends. The person with the gift of giving has a passion to lay up treasure in heaven by helping others and advancing God's kingdom with their resources to a great degree. Those with this gift are generous and sacrificial givers, whatever they have, whether it be much or little. And they thoroughly enjoy doing so, but they do so anonymously, so no one knows that they're doing it. And then there's the gift of mercy. Romans 12:8 also says, "He who shows mercy with cheerfulness." In other words, those with the gift of mercy see helping people as a privilege, not as a burden. The gift of mercy is that special God-given ability and desire to help those who are suffering or in distress, whether it be spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically. These people feel deeply the pain of others. They can easily weep with those who weep. And these believers genuinely express compassion and sympathy toward the hurting. They want to assist and comfort them in any way that they can, often doing so sensitively with the use of very appropriate, well-timed words to encourage, to comfort. You know, it's in the painful situations of life where those with the gift of mercy seem to shine the brightest. Those with mercy are stepping up and they're moving in to touch the heart of those that are in pain. And they can be very effective in such ministries as counseling or hospital visitation, visiting shut-ins, those in convalescent homes, ministries to the poor and needy, preparing meals for those families that are grieving the loss of a loved one. Although the Word of God tells us that we're all responsible to participate in these speaking and serving gifts to some degree, those who are uniquely gifted by God with one or more of these specialized gifts will experience much greater effectiveness and much greater joy in using their gifts. If we have put our faith in Jesus Christ, every single one of us have been given at least one, and probably more, a gift mix supernaturally by God. And we're commanded by Him to use it in serving others somewhere in the church, whether we're a member of FBC or not. Although positions of leadership and teaching require membership here at this church, God wants all of us to use our gifts to serve. And as we all do, Ephesians 4:16 says that this causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Therefore, let me ask you a question. Have you discovered your spiritual gift? Do you know what it is that God has given to you? Have you found your fit in ministry? And then, are you faithfully using your gift for the benefit of the body? Not everybody has all the same gifts. We're all different. And yet we all need one another. God wants to use you and has uniquely gifted you to minister somewhere in the body of Christ according to His unique plan for you. As I close, there's a self-explanatory spiritual gift test out in the foyer that you are free to take as you go. Or if you are a techie and you'd rather be online and do it, type in on the online search, spiritual gift survey-churchgrowth.org. spiritualgiftsurvey-churchgrowth.org. Same test, still free. You can take it right there. But as your pastor, I would like everyone to take one of these two tests. And also, what I'd like you to do, if you would please make a copy of the scoring sheet and give that to me. Because I would like to meet personally with each one of you to go over the test results and to do everything I can to discuss the ministry opportunities that we have at FBC that best fit your gifts. There's no pressure. I'm not into legalism. But God has called us to use what it is that He has given us in the body for the body's benefit. May each one of us be good stewards of the spiritual gifts that God has entrusted to us, so that one day we all will hear those most treasured, cherished words from Jesus. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master.